Chicago's home for sports is live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I know Black and Abdallah were here for us on Friday. First time all four of us are back together in about a week. Feels great. We're inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Whether you have leftover thoughts on Thursday's Bears game that you've sort of just talked about your friends and family with and you want to get off your chest with Chicago Bears fans
I didn't talk with friends and family about the Bears at all over Thanksgiving. I got to be honest with you. We watched the game, but nobody wanted to talk about it.
Really? After the game was over, you guys were done with it?
Yeah. Well, wow. I mean, like, I was in Boston, so, like, they're used to not having to deal with crap like that. So, like, they were just like, winning. Oh, Bears are on. Who's on after the Bears game?
Yes, right.
Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll settle in for that one.
I was having a debate earlier upstairs. I'm all for canceling the Detroit tradition. Like, why does Detroit get the game? Just because the Ford family was pitched to me today that the money talks, but like until they're good, like I would give them preference if they're good, if they rebuild their team and say, look, you can have this game, but while you still suck and while you guys are still owing something and something, you don't get it the following year. You've got to show us that you're a competent team. Like the trash that the nation was given for Bears and Lions was terrible. Buck and Aikman didn't want to be there.
No, they're making jokes the whole time.
Millions of dollars to be there. Why? Just because it's always been that way does Detroit get the 11:30 window for Thanksgiving? Stupid.
Two thoughts. Be careful what you ask for from your favorite team's perspective, because that's a hard game to play at 11:30. Like, I'm with you. As a spectator, I want to see something better. But as a participant, like, nobody wants that 11:30 slot on Thanksgiving Day.
Or you don't think anyone's clamoring for it?
No. Nobody wants to play. Who wants to play at 11:30 on Thanksgiving? Other than, like, you're going to get a national holiday.
Maybe that's why tradition continues.
Exactly.
Because it's the Lions.
Nobody's pushing back. Like, who would, if you're a coach of an organization and you're a winning team, do you want that slot?
The Rams are
You're coming off of a Sunday game.
Right. It's got to be a team, obviously, in the Eastern time zone, right? Eastern, because it's a 12:30 kick for them to host that game.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you don't want that spot from your own team's perspective.
Okay.
Short week, hard to get ready for it.
So it's basically looked at as crap to begin with.
Yes, as a team.
So but no, like, one is really outraged by it except us.
But as a spectator, I'm with you 100%. I don't want to see that crap.
It was.
But as a team perspective, you don't want that spot either because it's the hardest of the games to have to get ready
for. Like, my big takeaway from last week and the way it was capped off for us with the Bears on Thursday, and now they're getting set for the Cardinals. We're going to monitor and give you an update on Justin Fields and his situation. Number one, Matt Nagy's still the coach. We know this. Number two is, even though they won, Detroit played, it was the worst team in the NFL playing a terrible game. Like, not only do you have the worst team against the Bears, the worst team played a terrible game of committing penalties left and right, and it still took the Bears a last-second field goal to beat them.
You sound like a guy who thinks this team is really in the hunt.
No, I don't.
Right, that's my point. Like, I watched the same game with you, and I'm like, all right. Like, Andy Dalton played exactly the way a veteran backup quarterback should play. A guy that you can insert in a lineup for several weeks if you have to, a couple of weeks at best, and expect him not to be overwhelmed and to do some good things. He did some good things. He also threw one red zone interception and could have thrown another one. Like, but that's, Andy Dalton did exactly what a backup veteran quarterback, what you asked them to do. Nothing more, nothing less for me. So again, so when Justin Fields is ready to go and the doctor says green light, he's under center for me. I just couldn't believe, like, I went away for a few days It was refreshing. I always find, though, that at my advanced age, when you go away and you're with family, you almost forget how old you are and you start drinking like you were, like you could when you were 35. And you got to tap the brakes and say, whoa, five beers at a football game?
Yeah, like, you've been doing this, though, for years.
Why does it hurt more now?
Why did it take the Thanksgiving holiday for you to have sort of this epiphany?
Well, like last Saturday on my couch, I didn't have five beers. Like in the game. Like, I'm sitting there and kept sending my 28-year-old up, give us another round, let's do this. You got to also have a few when you're watching your team get boat raced 41-10.
Well, this was in the BC game.
Yeah, it was at the BC game.
So they serve alcohol there.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's the greatest decision that any campus has ever made or any college program has ever made from a business perspective. First of all, the majority of your student athletes, okay, I'm not advocating underage drinking. Show an ID. They're all captive there. They live on campus, so you don't have to worry about travel. Think about it. A 12-ounce Bud Light, which was being served at Alumni Stadium when I was there on Saturday, was $8. Think about how much money that you are actually able to generate that you could put into different student programs just from selling alcohol to responsible adults.
Do most colleges do that nowadays?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It took a while. It was very antiquated.
It was taboo.
Where it was always like if you had a stadium on campus, they were very reluctant to
do it, right? Yes.
But then now in the last, 5 years or so?
Think of the money that you can generate by serving adult beverages at a college game. And I know I'll get pushback from some. I'm an advocate of responsible drinking. Anyway,
so
my point was...
They'll just underage drink at the fraternity house or the bar.
I mean, of course. It's like if you don't legalize gambling, people are still going to gamble.
Yeah.
You create a barrier for them to possibly gamble, but at some point, if you want to gamble or you want to drink, you're going to find a bar or you're going to find a bookie. One or the other.
Don't change the subject yet. Hold your thought. Because here's how whipped I am as far as what the stadiums have done to me over the years.
Yeah.
When you mentioned $8 beer, I'm like, oh, that's
not
pretty
bad, right?
Pretty good price. An $8 stadium beer is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, like with college prices.
Well, I know, because that shows you. I mean, an $8 beer, you go to a bar and they charge you $8 for a beer. Like, whoa,
this was only a 12-ounce or two, though. Right, I know you get the big boy beers at different places like we did out in Vegas.
What were they, $17.50 for the double beer?
Whatever it was, I think I spent $80 plus on a six-pack is what it was, I think. Hey, you guys want a round? All right, cool. How much is that? $80. Okay, fine. Here we go.
We're at a game, so why not?
So anyway, circle back.
Yeah.
So I was gone for a few days. Leading up to, I was forced. Okay, I'll use the word force. Forced to take a Comrex unit with me to Boston.
Tell everyone what a Comrex unit is.
Well, it allows you to broadcast from home. Like when I broadcasted from home on Wednesday because I was afraid of traffic.
Right, like I did for a year when I was going through all
this stuff. So, like, I took the Comrex unit that I was using on Wednesday for the show, packed it up, and took it with me in case the Bears fired their coach. I didn't think it was going to happen. I was, perplexed by some of these reports that were transpiring or that were being passed around. But out of an abundance of caution, I packed up the Comrex and took it with me. Monday and Tuesday were just a poo show, right? I mean, like in terms of what was being talked about. And, Nagy has been informed that he has been fired. No, he hasn't been informed that he's fired. Matt Nagy's going to be fired after the Lions. No, Matt Nagy's not going to. Whatever the case may be. We go from that poo show leading up to when they traveled to Detroit on Wednesday, where George had to talk to the team and tell everybody, believe what you all want. Whether or not they changed their mind, whatever the case may be, George told the team it was nonsense. It wasn't going to happen. I come back and we're in the hunt and people are asking whether or not on Twitter Matt Nagy's safe.
Who's asking, is Matt Nagy safe?
I heard some conversation maybe in the morning as well, but you can find anything you want on Twitter. I'm just saying to you, this all happened in the matter of 4 days. The coach is fired. It's been told he's been fired. He won't coach past Thursday. This Bears team is the worst ever. Everybody needs to go. I come back. We're in the hunt. And there's questions whether or not we go on a little run. Maybe Matt Nagy said, Yurko, what the F happened?
You should have heard Yurko on Friday.
What happened?
I don't know what happened to Yurko, but Yurko was... He was selling that the Bears could get this right.
But I heard him today saying, like, listen, he gave you a scenario. I believe it was his 98 Jacksonville team that he was a part of.
That team was decent.
Well, I almost sent him, and I know what he was doing. He was just building you a bridge to the unthinkable and the unlikely. And I was sent him a text. I wrote it twice and just deleted it because I didn't want to deal with it. It said, Mark Brunell's not coming through that door. Fred Taylor's not coming through that door. You, Johnny, are not coming through that door. The point is I'm not buying that bridge, but
good
I just
receivers
found it,
on that team, too.
Keenan McCardle and Jimmy Smith. Like, anyway, I just found it unbelievable that we have been whipsawed. We hit one guardrail, and instead of finding our way back in the middle lane, we went against the other guardrail in a matter of 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, but that's
where we are as Bears fans, because right now, the only bet I would say isn't off is that Nagy comes back. I think that has been, if you ask me, show of hands here, all right, what was more true? Was Nagy getting fired, or was the report wrong?
I would say the report was wrong. That's where I would
That was more, because I believe he was getting fired, and I believe they let the tail wag the dog. That's how the Bears do business.
Well, they do business by not firing guys in midseason. That's how they do business.
True, they do. That is their long history.
Yeah.
But I truly believe they saw it got out. Someone talked who should not have. Any way you slice it, he was wrong in the fact that Nagy was informed.
He was never told that he was fired.
I am definitely buying that he was probably gone on Friday, but it got out. And then they let the tail wag the dog, right? That's the saying? They reacted to all the news. And, oh my God. Now, Jordan, now what do we do, Ted? Now what do we do? Now we can't fire him. We got to keep him now. This is going to get... Well, what do you mean? Like, that's the problem
with
this team.
Why would you be firing him after the game on Thursday? If you were upset with what you saw on the lakefront against the Ravens, you'd fire him on Sunday.
The Bears...
Okay, but I would also say them, the Bears, they don't fire people in the middle of seasons.
All right, so
you say
wrong report. Abdallah, wrong report, or was he getting fired?
I say wrong report because if you watch what Ian Rappaport said before the game, like the disdain in his voice, he was like, well, according to patch.com, Nagy was supposed to be fired right after this game. And let me tell you, they don't fire dudes during the season. He was much more, well-spoken than saying dudes and whatnot.
I think the report is that they've decided, this is my just speculation, they have decided internally, not only is the coach going to be gone, but they are going to undergo massive change.
I hope so.
But with that said, that's all going to happen at the end of the season. But not now. That's what I believe.
Okay. But Black, what do you believe?
I believe 100% bad reporting.
Bad reporting.
One Mark source, Heinkel, maybe, reporting. Maybe, yeah, bad reporting. Now, I don't completely go against how you believe it, Sylvie, because, yeah, the Bears
Anything's
do
possible.
Things that are strange, but I think this was someone getting some hearsay and then thinking that it was absolute when it was not the case.
There's one report on there that Matt Nagy denied that I 100% believe. And I want to share that with you coming up. 312-332-3776. And finishing my thought, I believe the only thing that for sure is on the table is that Nagy's getting fired at the end of the year. But is Pace going to be back? Are they going to go through massive, massive change? Will they allow Ted Phillips to still be in the ear of the owner who makes all the decisions? 332-3776. I also want to ask everyone about Jim Harbaugh. Now that he's won, is he more likely or less likely to become the Bears coach? When we've talked about Ryan Day, we've talked about shooting for the stars here. Is Jim Harbaugh good or bad? Would you want him for the Bears job? And now that he's won, is it more or less likely that could happen? 312-332-3776. The Bulls play tonight. They have not played well over the last few games. The baseball situation is very interesting with a major free agent signing today. Will the Cubs and Sox get in on the action before Wednesday's deadline of a possible lockout? And there's just a lot to talk about in holiday parody songs. It's all coming up on Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Some good response on Twitter early to the show. You can tweet us at Waddle and Sylvie at TWaddle87. You can also interact with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, as Zuby Q tweets, and others have tweeted in response to the pre-show video and maybe watching on Twitch right now. They're worried about you as you have ditched the alumni gear. You are, have you now...
After, it has to be washed every now and again.
Well, I mean, you haven't washed, I mean, every
day. You have
day.
No idea what my dry cleaning and my washing clothes schedule entails.
Well, it's just been your uniform. Every day you've had that on. And
took
then it
with me on the road for 3 or 4 days. It needs to be scrubbed.
Okay, after Thanksgiving, people thought that, hey, maybe that was the last straw.
I will love my team. I'm not bailing on them. In fact, tomorrow I may go double bubble. I may go Bears knit cap with Bears alumni sweatshirt or zip up, whatever the case may be.
Zip up hoodie.
Listen, I'm all for free stuff, too.
I know.
It's awesome.
I know you
It's
are.
Awesome free stuff.
Who's not? Right. Anyone who makes fun of people for wearing free stuff, who's not for free stuff?
I don't know.
Big C says, hey, guys, what's the Bears Super Bowl betting odds?
And I said to Big C, I don't often tweet, but when I do... I told him I would house whatever Super Bowl bet he wants to make. Whatever bet he wants to make, however large he wants to make it, I will house it.
Bolin says, going to be so funny when they get the 7 seed and they keep Nagy in Pace.
It won't be funny. I can't connect the dots between that thought, where we are now and there. But even more so, I don't expect that to happen. But I'm commenting on the whipsaw effect of what went on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of last week to now. NBC on the because they beat the Lions, we're now at the tail end of the in the hunt, and now people are drawing, you know, are connecting those dots. Like, how can you go from one area over there to one area over here in a matter of like 4 days?
Chris B says, look, no one thinks this Bears team is good, but they are in the hunt. They play the crap Vikings twice. Kirk Cousins going to be over there lining up behind the left tackle is a good reference. And it's the same as last year in the hunt the last few weeks, and then we snuck in. I don't believe this team is making anything. I believe this team is closer to being the worst team in the league than to making the playoffs.
You're getting the Cardinals coming out of a bye. Whether it's Colt McCoy or Kyler Murray, I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win this game. You're going to get the Vikings one of two. You're going to win one.
Isn't the Packers after the Cardinals?
Yes, and the Packers and are coming out of the bye as well.
Two teams. And usually, remember, that Matt Nagy is not coaching them. Usually teams come out of the bye fresher and better.
What I've learned over the last 4 or 5 weeks of the NFL is you can't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
But this is a team that has found ways to lose. Like, did you see everybody how they lost to the Baltimore Ravens with a first-time starting backup quarterback? Why do you think all of a sudden you're going to be able to turn it around against... Vikings aren't a great football team, but, like, you think you can, at home, lose to the Ravens and it's automatic you're going to beat the Vikings twice?
I think the Vikings have actually played not bad, and I thought yesterday's... Yeah.
They're like a middle-of-the-pack team.
I thought out of all the games from this past weekend, I thought, obviously, Bucks-Colts was best. I thought the Packers game against the Rams was intriguing. And I thought 49ers-Vikings was a good game.
It was, but it's a low bar because I thought the week of games was pretty bad.
Well, on paper, remember, we had the most games with 500 teams or higher.
I know.
I was so proud of myself. I said to my wife... said, Allie, let's forego. I watched the Red Zone all day with my kids. It was beautiful.
They were in,
and they were talking football with me, and they loved it. We were playing in the basement. We're playing Papa Shot. We're playing football. And I didn't have to focus on the Bears. And I got my good share of football, And I said to my wife, I go, let's watch Succession as it comes on. I don't need to watch Ravens-Browns.
Well, you saved yourself 3 hours of nothing good.
I was so proud of myself. It was the best decision I've made in a few weeks. In anything.
Yeah. I think, I think we're going to play the game later today, who's good and who's not, or at least talk about it. I think the NFL schedule these days is kind of carved up into thirds. And this middle third has been garbage for the most part. Now, again, consumed by all of us. We love it dearly. But what has transpired over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks has been average at best for the most part.
Well, right. And
except
who are those
a few
truly
exceptions.
Great teams?
Well, and that's why I think you'll see over the next 5 or 6 weeks now who's really legit.
Well, I mean, the Ravens have the number one seed in the AFC. Yeah. How can you make a case that they're great right
exactly.
now?
No, you're right.
So 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Getting back to the Bears too, really quick. The Biggs report that they canceled the meetings in response in the Tribune over the weekend, and then Nagy went out of his way. I think it was Friday. I got it on my screen, but it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and I don't feel like doing that today. He basically said that they had a mix up in days that they didn't calculate the schedule. For the
Tuesday schedule would have been the Friday schedule.
And they screwed that up, yeah. Which is another testament on how stupid they are up there. They get with the headphones going out just right as they're getting ready to, go for it on 4th and 1. Oh, the headphone went out. Headset went out. Sure. Just like.
But when people want to go through the exercise of, they can win this game, they can win that game, they're better than the Vikings twice, they can go to Seattle and beat them.
Well, no, I'm not saying about that, but anyone who wants to deny that Matt Nagy didn't cancel those, in Biggs, I trust, okay? Say what you want about Mark Conkle and his reports and who he knows. If Brad Biggs reports that they canceled those meetings because Matt Nagy was scrambling after this report, I 100% believe
that. Yeah,
I don't believe Nagy saying that they mixed up their days.
Maybe he canceled the meetings because he was busy talking to the owner and to the president of the organization.
And I think that's all Biggs was saying.
Yeah.
Is that in response to all the stuff that was going on in the building, and Nagy denied that, saying the reason they canceled it, they had their wrong meeting scheduled for that day. Which, again, is another way of saying we are incompetent up here. We don't know which day it is and which schedule we're following.
Look, again, as we sit here on Monday getting ready for the game against the Cardinals at 4-7, after having beaten a really bad Lions team that found themselves in 3rd and 32 on two occasions, which I don't know has ever happened in the world of football together. Whether or not they find a way to 9-8 and get the 7th seed, which again, I find ridiculously highly unlikely, or they end up 4-13. If you think that this team can go beyond this year under the same structure and things are miraculously turned better, you are fooling yourself beyond belief.
Yes.
So the end of the day, whatever the record is, should not be an impetus for anybody to stand status quo.
James in Rockford, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, James? Hello, James.
Gentlemen.
Are you calling the right show?
Gentleman.
Yes. Now, I remember when Tommy was still suiting up that we only had 2 ball games on Thanksgiving.
Yes. What was that, a decade ago when they changed that? 10, 15 years ago?
You know what? I wish there was 4 games. As a viewer?
No, then there's less on Sunday.
Correct, right. Now, since NBC signed on here, now we've got the 3rd game. Do we need 2 games on Thanksgiving? Let's just get rid of the early Detroit game.
I think 3 games, for me as a viewer, I've got no problem with the schedule. I like it. I like the game that gets your day going. I like the game, at halftime. You know, maybe that's when you start dinner or you're coming out of dinner. And then I like the game sitting on my couch like Al Bundy with one hand in my pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
About
you're
to pass
totally
out
fine.
Watching the nightcap.
Yes. I like that in every time slot you have a game.
Yeah.
And it's there if you want it. If you don't, go get some more pecan pie. Mark in Hampshire, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. I don't think Harbaugh is going anywhere. Obviously, he's still a young guy at 57, so you can't say never going back to the NFL. But he's tried that. He's back at his alma mater. He's living in the same neighborhood that Bo Schembechler grew up in and lived in. His family has moved there. His parents have settled there. And until he wins anything, and you, Tommy, you know this, he is a lunatic and the most competitive guy on the planet. And his dad, Jack, is too. So I don't think he's going to go anywhere until he wins something, at least a national championship or whatever he's going to do before he thinks second twice about coming back to the NFL.
I think it's I'm with you, Mark. I would never, knowing Jim, I would never say never.
If the Chicago Bears came calling too, I mean, this is
that would change.
Sort of
I think that would change
tug
the dynamic.
On the heartstrings, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's been very successful. That's why I think it. Like the debate that we had in our text chain with Boyle versus Merkin about is Harbaugh a good coach? I read some good stuff on Twitter. A lot of Bears fans would be against that. Some Michigan fans don't think he would leave. Is it more likely now that he beat Ohio State that he would leave? Or if he was over, would that be more likely to leave? It's a debate that I want to have, and I want to read you some stats. So we'll get to all that. 332-3776. We got some songs we have to debut. Adele has gone through like almost 30 new songs. Enter the Holiday Parody Song Competition. It's ESPNParody.com. We'll debut some of those songs and continue to talk some football with you next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Boy, it's crazy. We do have a baseball news. They should do a deadline like this every year. I know I'm not talking about like a labor deadline. This deadline on Wednesday when the new labor, the old labor contract expires. In essence, it will force a lockout if they don't come up with an agreement before that, which means no moves are allowed, you know,
right,
until a new labor deal's in place. So a lot of these players are trying to get these deals done.
Because they don't know what the new agreement would look like.
And they know what the millions of dollars would look like today. So they'd rather not risk it being even worse. We always know that. The enemy that you know...
can be better than the enemy you know.
Right. The bird in the hand. All those different philosophies.
The devil you know.
Right. The devil you know. And so there. I like that there's some sort of a... We've had many off seasons where the hot stove never heats up.
Mm-hmm.
And remember where nothing would get done? So this deadline has prompted action. Robbie Ray has just signed a deal, according to Jeff Passan, 5 years, $115 million with the Mariners. Mariners were very hot in the second half of the year. They
How much was
made
it? 5 years, 115?
115.
That doesn't sound like a huge deal for Ray either, right?
He's isn't he older?
I think so, he's coming off.
31?
Wasn't he your Cy Young Award winner in the AL?
Yes. And the Mariners, according to John Heyman, Mariners are doing things, looking at several other big pieces, including Javi Baez and Chris Bryant.
Interesting.
And then earlier today, I already talked about this. Max Scherzer signed a mega deal with the Mets.
3 years, $130 million.
Like, I was saying that the Sox should be in on him. Like,
I agree.
The Sox are going to need a guy. They could build the bullpen, and I know it's a bullpen game, and they just signed a Graveman, a very good reliever. They could build the bullpen, and it's great. I still think you need a guaranteed starter who you know you can throw out there and can give you seven, even though that's not the way the game's going. Like, Lance Lynn, again, is it going to be a year older? I don't know if he could give you seven or six in a postseason game. Giolito, we still don't know.
I think Robbie Ray just turned 30. Like, you'd be willing to spend 4 or 5 years worth of a contract, good size money, on somebody that's that age, right?
Well, put that, like, compare that to your point, to Lester's deal. Lester, I think, signed with the Cubs at around 30, and he signed like a 5 or 6 year deal for much more than that.
Yeah.
But Lester also was one of the best postseason pitchers in the history of the game, even before he signed with the Cubs. But yeah.
Listen, I heard Dan from Barrington call Carmen the good kid earlier today. I think that Sox fans are going to be more than a little bit angry if they don't participate in some of this money spending.
Do you want me to play
activity.
That now? Can we get to the songs at $45? Is that cool while we're on this topic? And then let me clean out these calls. We'll play some of the songs at 2:45. This was Dan earlier today. This caught my ear. Sox, like, again, Cubs fans, you know, biblical losses and your team bottomed out, and they said they're going to be in it to compete. They haven't done anything. The Sox have signed a good reliever in Graveman. They have a, and the caller will lay out all the gaps they still have on their team. But they should be in really go-for-it mode with one or two guys. They again, have won two postseason games in the last 2 years.
Dan's in Barrington. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. This White Sox offseason, this nonsense has been going on since Ron Shuler was here. They put this stuff out with Bob Nightingale and the other purveyors of disinformation of, hey, we were close, and you know, you get Connor coming on here every Saturday, blowing smoke for 4 hours.
Hang on.
This is what we're looking at. They've never signed a player higher than Yasmani Grandal. They're not in on any of these guys. And here's what they're going to get this offseason. Sox fans are not dumb. You're going to get Michael Kopech and his man bun and his 40 innings to replace Carlos Rodon. There's no second baseman. The catcher should be a DH, and there's no right fielder. And they're going to sell you that this is what they've done after getting their asses completely kicked in the playoffs 2 years in a row. But now this team, they're in their window, and Reinsdorf still won't start.
I wish they
and
would.
You know what people
I know.
Do? They're going to come on this station. Kaplan, Hoodie, all of them. Purveyors of disinformation. Single one of these.
What disinformation were they purveying?
What did Hoodie say? They're on all these guys. And Rick Hahn has buckets and ships of money. No, he doesn't. They're not spending anything.
Well, I give you that.
And
I don't know.
Man Bun's going to lead the way. You guys are all buying into this nonsense.
I give you that. I don't think there's buckets of money, Dan. Oh, I'm sure there are, but I don't think he wants to spend them.
Oh, Dan and Barrington brought the heat.
It was funny. It was very funny.
Caught my ear. Both teams should be under fire right now.
Yeah,
a lot of these guys wanting to sign before. Now, maybe there will be some good deals to be had later.
Yeah.
And maybe both teams will fortify their roster. But for different reasons, for A, the Cubs suck, and they have buckets of money, and they still may not want to spend with all these new lines of revenue. B, the White Sox, who are on the doorstep, who with some smart moves, they do need another starting pitcher. Not just like a nice starting pitcher. They could use a really good second baseman. They traded their future second baseman, thankfully. And they need to go
Listen, I think the Dan was a little unnecessarily harsh with regard. I don't think anybody on the station has been screaming that Rick Hahn has spent a ton. I don't think they have. I think they've spent wisely to lock up some of their young players. It says here that the White Sox have $156 million committed to the payroll in 2022, according to SpotTrack. But like I said, like you don't have anybody on your roster that is in one of these $25 to $30 million type contracts. I think they have done a really good job signing a lot of their young talent to, you know, team-friendly extensions. This is the time to
and they
want to
have Kimbrel.
Is that
counting like a guy like Kimbrel?
Yeah, Kimbrel's $16 million is counted on this.
So they're going to trade him. So 3-3-2. It's something we're watching here.
Yeah.
So it seems like a lot of these free agent deals.
Where
are
did Marcus Semien go again?
Texas. They were awful.
Monster
and they're trying to get, and they're trying to sign another one of the shortstops too, like either Seager or Story. So it is a hot stove after years of not having a good
Sounds
hot
like
stove.
Correa, too, may be going to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So
the division's going to get
you
better.
You may want to find your checkbook on the south side.
Mike in Shanahan, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
How are we doing, boys?
We're good.
So I have a little bit of a quandary with the Harbaugh thing because I am the biggest Michigan fan there is, and I'm also a diehard Bears fan. So I can't really tell you what I'd rather have them do, to be honest.
Well, I would say this.
Win a national championship this year, then sign as the Bears coach. How about that? Isn't that what you're rooting for?
Sylvie, I could roll with you. How about you, Tommy? What do you think?
I'd be more interested in what I'm interested in is seeing, like, what this team has struggled with, this Bears team over the course of the last several years, is two things, developing quarterbacks and improving on offense, right? Now, if you go back and you look at what Jim Harbaugh has done, like his most successful runs outside of being at Stanford and where was he at before that?
San Diego State,
University of San Diego. Like when he was the head coach of the 49ers, I think when they went to the NFC title game two or three out of the 4 years he was there. They went to the Super Bowl 1 year. He turned over the offense to Greg Roman.
Think about the staff that he built.
Yeah, he had Vic Fangio as his defensive coordinator. If he can recreate that, I'm all in.
Right.
But the problem is what has been their Achilles heel at Michigan the last several years?
Quarterback play and offense.
And their offense. Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's the push and the pull here.
Right, and let's not forget about Ryan Day, who's still great even though they lost. And he should be on their list, as should a lot of other people. But again, I think before you can think about any of these coaches, you got to think about how far you truly are going to restructure.
And also, like, Saturday was cool. It's one.
He got one. Well, like I said, Abdallah.
He's got one.
I said this to a tweeter. He is now on pace to go 5-22 against his rival, which sounds about Bears-like, right? Like,
let me ask you a question, Adam, though. Is there a chance that maybe he's better suited to be an NFL coach than a college coach? The recruiting thing, which hasn't been.
Well, he's got a decent defense. He's got a good offensive line. He's got a good running game. I mean, you can't go sleep at free agents' tree houses.
No, that's my point, maybe...
I think you could.
Succession last night.
Trespassing?
Oh, good call.
They were recruiting people in the treehouse yesterday.
I feel like Harbaugh's got a shtick, and his shtick is good for college.
Because he is a Super Bowl coach. I mean,
he's a Super Bowl coach. He's not a Super Bowl winning coach.
No, you're right. I do have stats later. Let's bring this up. Let's play some songs. We'll continue to take your call. We're following baseball. There's a Zach LaVine update for tonight's game that he's under the weather. I'll give you that, and then we'll get into the song. So a lot's going on right now. 332-3776.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So tonight's Bulls game is another interesting one. We have so much to talk about. The Ball brothers, who are great stories. LaMelo's very, very good. Lonzo has found a permanent home here, and he has been just a really great signing. The things he brings to the team with his passing and his defense and his shot-making from three, it's been outstanding. And we haven't heard much from the dad. It's great.
Who would have ever made that statement 3 years ago?
Shot-making
from three.
Right.
With Lonzo Ball.
He has become a great three-point shooter. And so that's tonight. And the Hornets are surprisingly good as well. And the Bulls have lost 3 out of 4. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They had a down week. It was a tough loss to Miami over the weekend. The losses to the Pacers and the Rockets weren't good last week. So, and now some of the good teams are stepping on the gas. Like the Bucks have won 7 in a row. I think the Nets are the number one seed again. It's time to win some games. And Zach LaVine is questionable for tonight with sickness. Non-COVID related sickness is what they're saying.
We are in the cold and flu season.
We are, yes. And there's a lot of that going around too.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind, and we'll talk more Bulls later. All right, boys, the holiday parody song contest is on. There were a lot of songs waiting for us at ESPNParody.com. That's how you upload your song. It's really easy. ESPNParody.com. Entries through December 10th. So you've got two more work weeks here. And it's all brought to you by Miller Lite, American Sale, your Chicagoland Toyota dealers, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Shady Rays. Grand prize winner will get a $1,000 cash, 2 VIP 4-day passes to Country Thunder, and a $50 gift card to Shady Rays gift card. $50 gift card to Shady Rays, I should say. So what do we have here, Abdallah? Let's debut a couple new ones.
Yeah, we've got a few. We got a bunch of them, actually. We got about 20 or so new ones.
I see 16 of them on my screen here that you guys haven't listened to.
20 or so.
Okay.
Let me intro them, Abdallah. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Brian Kasnick, he gave us this one's called Where Are We At? Where Are We At?
Where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at? Hark how the bears, stale, boring bears, will never sell, puts me in hell. With an aging D, zero cap money, just sell the team, that is the dream. Oh, how I cry, watching those guys, why don't they dare? End the nightmare, no matter what they do, always play like poo, still with Coach Matt, saying where they're at. That is the phrase he likes to raise after every loss, like he's running DOS. Every time Coach Matt says that, my brain fills with scat, and sadly, that is where I'm at. Oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where's the offense? A better question still is, where's the defense? It's been 4 years, eyes filled with tears, zero playoff wins, more likely you'll have twins.
Ooh.
Fire all the ding-dong, ding-dongs.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
You know, it made like the more I got it, the double voices sort of
clouded my thoughts.
Confused me. The words were really good, and that's what he does always say in these press conferences. Not only, hey, we got to find the whys, but he's going to say that's where we're at. You know, we got to find out where we're at. Good. I like it. I give that a thumbs up.
Because solid.
Oh, you didn't like it as much.
Not going to be in the. Not going to be a finalist.
Okay, it's a B.
Not going to be a finalist.
Yeah. I'm good with a B.
I give it a good old B.
I mean, listen, it's tough to give out tough love before we even get to the month of December. But like, honesty is a good policy.
We don't have to find a winner. We can just enjoy a B level.
Of course.
If I got a B on a test, I would be thrilled at Niles North.
Well, you ain't winning the grand though, and I want him to get back into the shop and give us something that gives him a chance to win the grand.
Okay, good advice. What else?
All right, here's Peter Tsai, Bears to Arlington Heights.
Ooh.
Bears move to Arlington Heights. Ask Will Buck, they'll say hell no. Keep this charter team on the lakefront forever. Chicago, not the West Side.
You want the gong?
Yeah,
you
must be.
Yeah, it's only 10 seconds left.
Never happy.
Is this Will Buck, by the way?
Playing indoors would be weak.
I'll tell you what's weak.
That song.
Okay, now don't be mean.
Not the effort. Right, not the effort. Right. We applaud the effort.
Well, he wants to keep playing on the lakefront in a small stadium that they don't own.
I don't agree with him, but that doesn't mean he couldn't win. He can't win because his song isn't as good as some of the others we've already heard. That's why.
We got to mix the music, too, correctly, where we could all hear the words, right?
Well,
wasn't
that's up
that a
to
little
them.
Cloudy, too, where the words weren't understandable because the music was so
that's
high?
That's not us. That's them.
No, I know that. That's why I'm giving out info.
Yeah, come on. Get back in the
shop.
The shop.
Yeah, in the mixing shop.
All right. Usually a fan favorite, Michelle Fleishman.
Yes.
She gives us messed up family business.
The Bears are a messed up family business.
Okay, here we go.
And it's brought us fans to tears. George should know that this team blows and has for many years.
Oh, yeah.
It's a half-assed, schlocky business.
Yes, it is.
And they could screw up a wet dream.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
From the chairman down to the bald-head clown and everyone else between. Oh, no, the CEO knows nothing we all can't see.
Right.
He shouldn't be involved in football decisions with the CPA degree. It's a total malfunctioning business, and it's also perfectly clear. Oh, Virginia, hope you have it in you. Make changes next year.
Okay, like, that was great.
I thought it was great,
fantastic.
Too. The boys, I don't think,
liked it
as much as we did.
Well,
I
certainly
saw
on
that
a comparative
with the video,
basis.
Too. I tweeted out the video last night. I thought it's catchy. The words are good. It's very funny. The premise is perfect about
certainly
the family
the best
business.
That we've heard so far today, without a doubt.
Yes. Yes. I'm thumbs up. That's an A.
Yes, you got thumbs
That's
up.
It's an A minus. It's good. I like it.
Yep.
what don't you like about it? And Twitch usually really likes her a lot.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
What is Twitch saying?
Creeps.
Yeah, they
know.
Would. Yeah, it fits.
Creep.
Big surprise there.
Hey, son says that's an A. All-Star Man says A++. Plus.
That's cool, dude. Yeah. It was a nice song.
Yeah.
Awesome? We're not hating.
Oh, yeah. And the video's on Al, her dad, put the words to a video.
I definitely put it in the keeper bin, for sure.
Yes, in the keeper bin. That's good.
All right. Keep it.
We'll continue to debut new songs. We have 16 to debut. We just knocked out three. We'll get to the... What are you laughing at?
Twitch.
You know it's going to get hairy in there.
Oh, well, it's okay.
Literally. I know why they like it.
Yeah.
Oh, just stop it. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000. ESPN1000 Chicago is our Twitch handle. You want to continue? I want to lay out some Harbaugh stuff, okay? And in 2 minutes, Eddie Jackson has started up with the fans again. And I had a response to Eddie as well. We'll get to that in 2 short minutes.